Welcome to another in our City of Sydney podcast series, Rock and Roll Walks of Fame and Shame. This is Hugh Liney. On this podcast, we talk to musicians, artists and entrepreneurs who help make the streets of Newtown, Erskineville and Enmore the hub for so many people with so many different backgrounds.
I know where I've come from, but I never knew where I belong. I never knew at all.
The physical starting place for rock and roll in the Newtown, Erskineville and Enmore region is actually on Broadway, right on the corner of City Road and Parramatta Road at the long-rocking Lansdowne Hotel, a venue that after decades still plays host to a stream of indie and very upfront rock bands. It's always great entertainment, most nights every week, and gets us off to a good start as we head up City Road towards Newtown. On our podcast, Hoodoo Guru Brad Shepherd recalls the migration of artists and musicians from inner city Darlinghurst and Surry Hills to the inner west, and particularly Newtown, in the late 80s.
Youth culture generally that existed around Darlinghurst area still happened in East Sydney, Surry Hills, and even Redfern. But I think that whole area in the late 80s and early 90s just became too expensive for folks, you know, became gentrified.
On the corner of City Road and Cleveland Street is the hard-to-miss Seymour Centre, a long-standing venue for performing arts, including the Sound Lounge, with an always creative lineup of jazz, world music, cabaret and comedy in a self-described intimate setting. Just past Queen Street, right at the beginning of King Street, we pass two buildings of great musical significance in Sydney. Firstly, the Vanguard, the New Orleans-inspired venue for jazz, blues and roots artists, and top-shelf tribute nights. It's nearly always showcasing the very finest of Australian and international singers and musos. Then there's Alpha House and there was Beta House. They were both large warehouses with colourful histories, both former multi-storey warehouses, with a mix of residents, including thriving artistic communities, with a penchant for throwing parties. For our podcast, Peter Simpson, Sydney designer and a former member of the Dubrovniks and the Teeny Weenies and the Spectre's Revenge, he recalls a long night at Alpha House, a truly legendary space that, unlike many of its former residents, still stands today.
I do remember one very memorable one where X played, and they hadn't played for a couple of years, and it was someone's birthday, and they said, yeah, we'll come and play for an hour or so. And they ended up starting at about 10, and I think I left about 4, and they were still playing. And they hadn't taken a break, but I can remember. It was the first time I'd seen it, because I'd arrived in 1980 just as they were disappearing, and hadn't been to see them. It was just phenomenal.
On the University of Sydney campus itself are two venues, Manning Bar and the smaller Herman's Bar, both thriving crowded rooms, with Manning especially featuring top local and overseas artists, and Herman showcasing funkier, more hardcore performers. Inner West music legend John Kennedy is often referred to as a king, or even the king of King Street. His bands JFK and the Cuban Crisis, John Kennedy's Love Gone Wrong, and his own solo work all helped shape sounds and images of Sydney itself, from more downtown Darlinghurst and Surry Hills to especially the inner west of Newtown and Erskineville, where he moved to in the 80s and still lives and performs today.
I came down from Brisbane in 82, spent a short while in Surry Hills, sharing a house with friends, moved out to another place in Chippendale, and then within a short time I actually moved into a house with Evil Graham Lee, who was then went on to join the Triffids. He was living in Newtown, and I shared a house with him. And at that time, the impression that still sticks in my mind is that anything south of Newtown Station on King Street was virtually derelict. Like, shops were boarded up, and you just get like little tailors and places that sold you know, the Indian salt milk drinks, lassies. Just little odd bakers and things like that. But it was certainly, well, even North Newtown wasn't trendy in any way. There's one cafe there. What's called Newtown Bridge, which is the where the roads cross the railway lines at Newtown Station. Anything north of that is called No New, and anything south of that is called So New.
Now, the Cooper's Arms is on the western side of King Street at number 221. Once called the Shakespeare Hotel, it's a great grassroots acoustic-style music pub, very popular with locals for absolute decades. Walking past Newtown Railway Station on the western side, staying on King Street rather than taking the right fork up Enmore Road, music fans and happy drinkers finally arrive at the Sando, full name the Sandring Man. Now, it seems it's always been there. It's certainly long been regarded as one of Sydney's favourite local venues for supporting independent artists. Right back in the 80s, it was bands such as Alistair Hewlett's Roaring Jack and their fiery, political, punk, folk, sort of Celtabilly performances that drew absolute hundreds to the small venue. The Sandos weathered tough economic and legislative times and still provides residencies for artists such as Lewis Tillett and the bluesy legends Dave Tyson and Evans. Now, perhaps the most famous and long-running residency was the Whitlams, who recorded God Drinks at the Sando and Blow Up the Pokies, a not-so-wry reflection on the role poker machines play in the death of venues and on the effect they had on a fellow band member. Andy Kelly, the Newtown-based music entrepreneur and Ivy League Records co-founder, he recalls first arriving in Sydney and visiting the Sando.
I guess it was the sort of place that we dreamed that Sydney was like, you know. I mean, keeping in mind that this is actually pre-internet and that sort of everything being so instantly accessible. So our opinions of what Sydney was like and what King Street was like and what Newtown and playing music was like was formed by, you know, maybe a trip up here, you know, on a weekend and what you would read in... you know, even earlier than that, Ram and Duke magazine.
That's
so
right.
you would form these grand ideas, you know, of what the Sandringham Hotel in Newtown would be like, and this grand musical palace, and
it was a
stage in the corner made of milk crates with boards put on top of it. But that was even better in a way, you know. What to get here and find the reality was as you imagined was really pretty. It was very exciting, you know.
It was Andy Kelly and his muso mates from Canberra, Pete Lusty and Andy Cassell, who first successfully set up what was one of Newtown's most popular performance venues ever, Goldman's, at the Newtown RSL. With a management company with a moniker straight out of Wall Street, Winterman and Goldstein, these very savvy musos and friends were into management, music publishing, record labels, and live rock and roll as well. Newtown RSL is a few hundred yards along Enmore Road, the other major artery that provides the Newtown Enmore metropolis with so much life, colour and traffic. Andy Kelly also recalls his first impressions of the venue.
We came across Newtown RSL, I think from memory, Andy, my partner Andy Castle, was playing in youth group at the time. Now looking for somewhere to launch a single, and they went into the Newtown RSL and went upstairs, and there was this incredible auditorium which was untouched really from the time it was built, which I think early 60s that building went up. But it was just incredible. It had these amazing booths down one side of the room which we called Rat Pack booths, and
love it.
You know, it had an extending stage, and it really was beautiful. And we went to the board there having no idea what we were doing, really, you know, put to them this idea that we could turn that into a venue, and you know, they would make money over the bar and
that's right,
all that sort of thing. So we called it. We got the go ahead from them, and we called the place Goldman's because we wanted it to have a bit of a classy ring to it. You know, again, a bit tongue in cheek. You know, and we actually opened. We had our first show the week after the Annandale stopped having live music. I mean, in addition to all our own bands, we had so many people through there. I mean, UMI, Tim Rogers, we had Evan Dando, played one of his, I think that was the first show he played in a couple of years. We had Robert Forster and Grant McLennan for a couple of nights.
Lovely.
We had Guided by Voices. Then we had, you know, lots of great Australian bands. Even from Melbourne did one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen there. It was quite difficult too at that time to really have something going four nights a week, three nights a week, for, you know, to have that demand going. It felt a little bit like rock music was a ghetto, populated by a pretty small number of aficionados. At that time, it felt like a real lull, as opposed to, say, Sydney, how Sydney's been the last 5 years, which has been amazing. There's bands, you know, cropping up everywhere.
Up the road a piece at number 130 Enmore Road, unmissable in its centrality and grandeur, is the Enmore Theatre. Now, if every rock and roll tragic who claimed to have seen the Rolling Stones' legendary gig at the Enmore had really been in attendance that night in 2003, then this mighty Art Deco dame of Sydney's live performance scene is a hell of a lot bigger than the 2,000 seats it purports to hold. Brad Shepherd of the Hitmen and Hoodoo Gurus confirms he was there that night, and that his mother used to go to shows there as well, way back when.
I saw the Rolling Stones there. That was
you did?
Good. I've seen loads of good shows there. I've seen Sonic Youth there on a couple of occasions. I saw George Clinton there. You know, I saw the Bangles. I got up on stage and played with the Bangles. I love playing at that place. My mother tells me stories that her grandmother would take her to the Enmore Theatre, because she's from Sydney, would take her there to see films. You know, I think perhaps she saw The Wizard of Oz.
Used to be a king on King Street.
Don't wander away from this area without a necessary visit to several fine music and entertainment establishments. There's the Vic on the Park on the corner of Enmore and Addison in Enmore. The Botany View down at South Newtown at 597 King Street, past the Sando. The Rose of Australia in Erskineville on the corner of Swanson Street and Erskineville Road, where Bernie Hay still plays and where Jackie Ozarski used to. The Factory Theatre at 105 Victoria Road, Enmore, is one of Sydney's newest and most exciting live venues. Also listen to John Kennedy and Andy Kelly. They discuss the local scene while you explore the byways and the back streets and the tangled traffic gnarls that all contribute to the area's colourful and confusing identity. Firstly, we'll listen to John Kennedy, whose song The Ghost of Newtown we're listening to in the background.
On King Street, anybody could be a king. Then I went away, I went off overseas and started my travels. I was away for a good 10 years, but I came back to Australia, back to Sydney after 2 or 3 years, and came back to Newtown and just started asking myself, well, does Newtown still mean something to me? And that was the seed from which the Ghost of Newtown, the song you referred to, came from. But yeah, I come back here and it's changed dramatically over the 20-25 years that I've been familiar with the area. It's changed dramatically, but it still has some sense of there is no dominant social group here. It's still a varied community, and it's still basically accepting. Your students, your gays and lesbians, your young professionals, your young families, and everyone's here, and everyone allows space for other people to get on with their lives.
And this is Andy Kelly with his thoughts on Newtown today, and in the background, one of the Ivy League artists, Josh Pike.
Like any kind of inner city area, it's become a little bit more gentrified. But I must say, you know, every morning I walk past the station to come to our office, and I just can't see it ever getting too gentrified. They're still all the same characters. There's some pretty, you know, there's some people doing it pretty tough in Newtown still, and I think that is that's probably always going to be the case, and it does make Newtown unique. But it's flourished. I think musically, you know, perhaps I think there's still so many bands and musicians that live here and go out on King Street and socialise and drink on King Street. But we've always been here. We had our first office. Well, our first office was Andy and Pete's bedroom, which was in a share house in Newtown. And then we were up one end of King Street in a tiny office with three desks crammed into it on a computer. And then we went up the road to Enmore, and now we're back in Newtown above Egg Records, like right on the corner of Wilson and King. And it's But we really love it here. There's no way. You can't actually imagine doing it not from Newtown. It would be right, you know. It's good because, you know, you walk out on the street and there's always something going on, you know. There's always some action out there.
Thank you for listening to the King Street and Enmore Road podcast for the Rock and Roll Walk of Fame and Shame. Produced by Hugh Liney and Ashley Russell and Frank Cottrell. Proudly presented by the City of Sydney. The podcast celebrates the growth of music in the culturally diverse Newtown and Enmore regions. What made you think of me right now?